This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26. John, chapter 15, verse 26.
John, chapter 15, verse 26 reads this way. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Verse 1 of chapter 16 says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, knowing that truth, we call upon you to fill us and to guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we might understand your truths, your words, and your will for our life. And Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, Lord, may you speak to their hearts and their minds and help them to understand and see their need and to trust you even today. And then Lord, for those of us who have trusted you, may we understand in a better way your will and your power for our lives. Bless, may you be honored and glorified and our lives blessed, and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is A Testimony of Christ in the Believer's Life. That's important. A testimony of Christ in the believer's life. And so as we consider our text this morning, I want to give you a little bit of an assignment. We're not going to go through all these chapters here. We're just going to pick and choose. We're going to be primarily here in chapter 16 for a little bit and chapter 14. But I would encourage you to go through chapter 14 through 17, four important chapters for the believer really to understand what the Lord is trying to do concerning his wisdom and his will for the life of the believer. The key verse here is verse 26, talking about the Comforter is come. And this is really the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ for the believer. That's why he's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. And so when we consider this, a lack of understanding the Comforter will cause us to miss out on the power of Christ in us. Think with me on that. Listen, a lack of understanding of the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that's what he's being called right here, will cause us to miss out on the power of Christ in us. Have you ever heard something and didn't hear it right? Have you ever heard that? Have you experienced hearing what somebody was saying, thinking you understood it, and completely not understanding it? Well, that really happens more often than we realize concerning the Word of God and the will of God for the life of the believer. But I also want you to think about this. Unbelief in the promise of the Comforter or the Holy Spirit, listen, will keep us from seeking His work and His will in us. If we don't believe that God has given to us something to be used for the honor and glory of the Lord, well, we simply won't do anything with it, right? If we don't think if it's of any value or if it's going to do anything differently in our life, we'll just simply let it go in one ear and out the other because it really doesn't mean anything to me. If you were to talk about crocheting, I'll listen to you and I might even smile, but to be quite honest with you, I have no interest in crocheting, right? I know some men do. I don't. I'm not against that. I am personally, just because I don't have any interest in it. But if somebody wants to do that, all fine and well. But we need to realize that when the Word of God is open, the Lord Himself is trying to speak to His people to communicate important truths. So we want to consider that. Let me invite you, you're here in chapter 16 to verse 7, and I want you to see the importance of the Lord's departure from earth and His ascension or return to heaven in your life and mind. So look with me, if you will, in verse 7. And notice what it says this. Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Listen to this. "For if I go not away, the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So he's speaking particularly in this place, he's talking to his apostles, right? the nucleus of the church, but I want you to understand this is intended for every believer, and you're going to see that here in just a moment, but I want to zero in right here on what he's telling the disciples that they would understand. And in verse 8 he says, "For and when he has come," look at what he's going to do. "He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." The prince of this world is Satan, Lucifer himself, and he was judged on the cross of Calvary. And we thank the Lord for that. And the righteousness of God was imparted to all those who would believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. That's salvation. Now listen, I want you to understand this. And I revert back to telling you my testimony of salvation. I listened and heard somebody say that I was born a sinner. And I believe that. And if I'll just put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'll just say this prayer, I'll be saved. So guess what? I wanted to go to heaven. I really did at 21. And so I listened to this fella and I repeated after him. And he told me, "Now you're a born again Christian." I wasn't. You know why? And I didn't know it at the moment because I didn't think I was that bad of a person. Listen, I didn't kill anybody. And I want you to know, till this point, I still haven't killed anybody. And praise God for that, right? Now, I may have felt like it at different times, but I have never killed anybody. And I would say I am probably better than most people in the world. I would say I'm probably better than at least 10% of the people in the world. But listen, that will not justify me before the Lord. And so I walked in that and I tried to open up the Word of God and to apply the Word of God and I had no interest. You know why? There was no Holy Spirit inside of me because I had not been redeemed and did not experience the grace of God in my life. You know what I experienced? My own righteousness. My own righteousness said, "I am not that bad of a person." I want you to know the best person, and I'm not claiming to be the best person, far from it, the best person on planet Earth will not enter into eternal life, if that's what they're banking on. If it's their goodness, the Bible says we have none. That is the simple gospel message. We are null and void of God's righteousness because only God's righteousness merits eternal life. And listen, the only way to receive God's righteousness is just that way, to receive it, realizing we are bankrupt of any righteousness. The Bible says even the best that we have in the sight of God is filthy rags. It's to be discarded. The best that you and I have, see, that's what confuses people. I'm not that bad of a person. Oh, no. Listen, we are sinners condemned already. We are sinners without the grace of God already condemned. And the only hope that you and I could ever have is by looking to the righteousness of the Son of God, the Messiah of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone. Not him and plus my goodness. See, that's what I was banking on. I need the Lord because he's holy and righteous, but I got some righteousness too. I had none. I thought so. I thought I had some. I didn't have any. And so then 3 years later, this fellow began to witness to me as I was training him, doing some neurodiagnostic testing. And I told him I'd already done that. Not interested. I already went that religious route. Don't want it. Didn't have any interest in it. And I am so thankful that that fella did not quit on me. And he just waited and waited for an opportunity to ask me what I thought life was all about. And I was glad to tell him what I thought life was all about. I did not have a clue that I was completely wrong. And then finally, he just approached me with the Word of God and the righteousness of God. And it was the Holy Spirit through his Word, Ephesians 2:8-9, that brought the light on, that God brought the light in my life to understand that it's through his righteousness, not mine. Not of any, nothing that I could do to brag about, but simply looking to him. And at that very moment, I can't even, listen. Here was my prayer. Ready? Save me, Jesus. That was it. Jesus saved me. That was it. I saw my sin, And man, oh man, did I experience the free pardon of sin. Now, everybody experiences it differently, and I know that. But I came to the place where I realized God had forgiven me because I looked to His righteousness alone. But even in the midst of having eternal life, we can look at the truth of God's Word and not be in the place to receive it. So notice this right here. We're right here in chapter 16, verse 11. Look at verse 12. Look what he says here. He says, Jesus says, I have many things to say unto you, but notice what he says, but ye cannot bear them now. You cannot receive it right now. That's what he's saying to his believers who are saved. So there are times in your life and mine that we cannot receive what God is saying. Maybe we're overloaded with cares of this world. Maybe we're preoccupied with things that we want to achieve and attain, and that will also hinder our receiving of the Word of God. Or it may be that we're overwhelmed and grieving concerning certain losses in our lives. That can also take place, and that's what's getting ready to happen, because the Lord is telling them, I'm leaving this world, and they did not like that idea. Listen, the disciples of the Lord did not like the idea that Jesus was going to pay for our redemption. They did not like that because they did not understand it. What they understood was our Messiah is going to leave us and we don't want to be without him. But what they did not realize is that in his going, he was going to fill them with the Holy Spirit in a more powerful way to enjoy a relationship that they had never had before. And so likewise in our lives, sometimes we don't realize that God is working out how many things for our good. Isn't that amazing? Now truthfully, listen. You don't always see it that way. I don't always see it that way. But we can trust God. It is always that way. See, that's the difference. This doesn't make any sense to me. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but I want you to know things happen that we just don't understand. But we can trust this, and that is that God is always in control. And so he says, I want you to know you can't bear them. Verse 13, listen to this. Howbeit when he, in case you wondered who he was, the what? The Spirit of truth has come. Notice what he will do. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Isn't that good? So here we find the importance of the Lord leaving this earth. The disciples didn't like that idea. Listen, I'm learning more and more something my wife has said really right along in our whole marriage, and that is she doesn't like, and I'm starting not to like change. Amen? I am not liking change a whole lot. It's all right, though. God's in control. I have to remind myself of that, and I want to walk in that truth. And I ask God to help me understand that truth. But listen, there's a change coming one day. Is there not? Where we will be ushered as a saved child of God into the very presence of the Lord, to be there forever and ever. And I want you to know, I think there's going to be, well, I don't want to say change because God really never changes, but we're going to learn and see more and more about God that we don't even know because he's infinite. And I don't understand living forever, do you? I mean, just never go out of existence, just always, never growing old, never experiencing any pain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thought I would have got a little more response out of that, but that's okay. No more sickness. And no more death. And we thank the Lord for that. Let me invite you back over to chapter 14 just for a few more moments here. And I want you to understand the importance of knowing to who Jesus is speaking to. All right? So look at verse 7 here. And we can look at the first six verses. I'll challenge you to go back and do that. But notice what he says here in verse 7 of chapter 14, the Gospel of John. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now listen, that simply interpreting itself is saying that Jesus, the Son of God and the Father, are the same. Amen. Is it not? Now wait, we can't grasp this. They're different, and yet they're one. Isn't that amazing? But listen, look at where this disciple was at, this believer in the Lord. Philip, verse 8, saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I think I would have said the same thing. Then, Lord, show us who he is. We haven't seen him yet, Lord. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Wow, what a question, really. I've been with you, I've been right in front of you, and you don't even know who I am. Wow, wow. Did you get that? A disciple, a follower of the Lord in his earthly ministry did not recognize, did not know who Jesus was, that he and the Father were one. I want you to know, I believe I'd be in the same situation as well. So the Lord himself was staring, the Father in the Lord was staring at Philip right in the face, and he says, listen, the way Jesus asked it was, don't you understand? Haven't you seen me? And so notice what he says again, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And listen to the question. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? It sure does sound like the Lord is saying, you should have figured this one out. But praise God, that's in the canon of Scripture for you and I to realize how easy it is to miss what God is doing and saying in our lives. And so he says, you don't understand this? Then notice, now look. Look at the mercy and grace of God in his explanation. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? That's a good question. Don't you believe this? Well, I think this is a revelation to him specifically, as well as all the other disciples. And guess what? As well as to you and I this morning, that we might understand this important truth. People are saying, oh no, listen. Jesus is not the Son of God. Baloney. Concerning the Word of God, he's telling you, if you've seen me, guess who else you've seen? That means they are one and the same. Now, they're different, and I'll be the first one to admit, I don't really understand that. But I can take God at his word. How about you? And so they're one and the same. And so he says, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth. Listen to this. The Father that's in him, he is the one that is the doer of the works. What you're seeing is the work of the Father in his. Listen. The Son of God was not operating in his own power. Isn't that amazing? So doesn't it stand to reason that if you and I are operating in our own power, we are missing the power of God? That's important. Listen, I want you to know that it is possible and probable that you and I, out of our love for the salvation that God has given to us, are trying to do things for God in our strength. Let's just do something for the Lord. We ought to be doing this for God. I bet you if I sat down with you and thought, what could we do for the Lord? What could we do? I bet you we could come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. Heavy on the crazy ideas. Because none of them, unless we seek God, will be what he wants. We'll say, we can do this, and we can do that, and we'll miss God completely. Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven? Oh, Peter, you know not what spirit you're of. And we can, why? What spirit was he of? Was he of a bad spirit? No, he was jealous for his God. He was jealous for his Savior. But the Lord said, you're operating under the wrong power. And by the way, you and I can as well. And here's how it works. It's either God doing things in and through us, or we're doing it ourselves. Listen, it's either God, and this is where the church has become powerless. It is either God's people, his church, understanding what he is wanting to do in and through our lives, and we're going to see that here in just a moment, or it's us doing it ourselves. And is God glorified, hear me, listen, in us doing the will of God in our strength? Let me try that again. Is God glorified in you and I doing the will of God in our power? Never. He's never. He's never glorified in that. And you and I, as saved children of God, can have the best of intentions and miss God completely. And I will promise you this, you will be failing the Lord. Because God will not share his glory with anybody, not even his own children. He will give us his glory, his power, and that ought to bring praise. Thank you, Lord. I know I would never be able to do that. How simple is it? Well, I will tell you, Brother Jason's son-in-law, what's his name? Alex? He's just taken a pastorate, right? And I think it was him. Somebody had asked me, do you get nervous doing weddings? Yes, I said. They were surprised at that. Yes. I want you to know I pray a lot. Amen? And I want you to know you can pray anywhere. And afterwards, he said, you'd have never known you were nervous. My hands were, I don't know, my wife or something, your hands are like ice. That's what happens to me. My feet get cold, my hands get cold. And why do you get nervous? Well, because I want it to honor and glorify the Lord, and I want it to be a blessing to the family. But you know what? Listen, I walk away from anything that the Lord gives me praising his name, because I know I will mess it up every time. Not sometimes, not most times. Every time I will fail the Lord in my strength. And I thank, and listen, when we start walking and seeking the glory of God that he intended through the power of the Holy Spirit that he indwelt every believer with, that is when the world will begin to understand the power of God, the purpose of God in your life, and turn the world upside down for his honor and glory. God is not just wanting the crazy preacher to be excited about the things of God. He's wanting the whole church out there to be praising the Lord that the world might see the glory of God in your life and mine. And so as we look to this, we find what the Lord is saying. I want you to know, believe, Philip, here, at least for what you're seeing take place, that everything that's being done is by the power of the Father. And by the way, listen. The reason for that is because God the Son stepped out of glory and became, he was still the God-man, robed in human flesh, submitting himself under the authority of the Father. He was not any less God because he did that. And I want you to know, he did that so that you and I can receive his righteousness on the cross. And so he says to Philip, I'm sorry, in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you. Remember, who is he speaking to? Disciples. So listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. Question this morning. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life? Let me try that again. This morning, are you here as a saved, blood-bought child of God?
Amen.
Dependent upon nothing else but the righteousness of God?
Yeah.
All right. So this means you've believed on him. So listen to, not what I'm saying, and here's where it gets dicey. Here's where we can hear and not understand what God is saying. Oh, that's good for the preacher, Sunday school teacher, or somebody else, but I don't know that that's for me. I want you to know what it says right here. Listen, verse 12. Verily, verily, and those words there can be rendered truly, truly. Jesus is saying this, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and that's us if we're a believer today, those who are the apostles only, Paul only. Is that what that says? No. He that believeth on me, listen to this. The works that I do shall he do also. Listen to this. And greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father.
Amen.
Do you think the church really believes that today? They don't believe it. They don't. They listen, if they're not careful, they just listen to a good sermon. They get a little history, they get a little object lesson, maybe they get a little illustration, and they understand something a little bit more about a passage they've heard. But what is it doing for the life of the individual believer and empowering it for the glory of God? Not much if it's not received or believed. And so, he says, Jesus himself says, I want you to know what my purpose is to the child of God. Look at verse 13. Now remember what he said, greater things you're going to do. You're going to be able to do what I have done, and you're going to even do greater than these because I'm going to my Father. Now look what he follows this up with. Remember who he's talking to? Those who've believed, right? Those who've believed. He knows all of these are believers. He knew this was going to be in the canon of Scripture that even you and I would be hearing that this morning. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That is a good ingredient in understanding how to ask things from God. First, here it is, ready? Does it glorify you? Does this glorify you? Right? Whatever you're asking God for. Does it? Some people, oh, look at that. I can ask God for everything I want. Well, wait a minute. Does it glorify God? And really, will it draw you closer to the Lord or further away? Will it? Well, that's how you test the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. If you want to know how to test the spirit of the world, the world has a spirit and it's led by Satan, Lucifer, the flesh. You be God. And then there's the spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points us to the Lord Jesus Christ every time. It teaches us of Him. The spirit of this world magnifies the flesh and the world and the things that are passing away. And so He says, whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen to this. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now look what the Lord says next. If you love Me, keep My commandments. I think that'd be a good thing to ask God. Lord, I want to love You the way You want me to. Lord, I want You to help me understand how to love You through Your power, through Your grace, through the Holy Spirit that will enable me to keep Your commandments. That I won't find them grievous. That I won't find them to be a burden. I want You to know in My strength, in My flesh, all of the commandments of God are a burden. I can't lift it. But God has given to us the Holy Spirit to empower our lives. So, question, when was the last time believers asked the Lord to show them how to love God? Don't answer. It's just for you. When was the last time we asked God, Lord, show me how to keep Your commandments to where I don't run away from them. Where I say this, ready? Well, I just can't. Oh, listen, I'm just weak. I can't do that. Who am I looking at? I'm weak. I can't do that. Am I looking to the Holy Spirit or myself? The Lord knows you can't do it. The Lord knows I can't do it. Hence, that's why He's given us the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just that simple. So if we're failing, we're not looking to the Lord. Now, you're hearing that, but will you take that and say, Lord, show me? Will you take that and say, Lord, and you know the areas, you know the sins that easily beset you. That's not my business. That's not anybody else's business, but You and the Lord. Take that before the Lord and say, Lord, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, show me the victory over these things in my life. That's what Lord, I'm taking You at Your promise. You told me that I would be a holy people, a royal priesthood. Now does it glorify the Lord to have sin-laden children? To have children in darkness? You're one that one preacher, an older preacher, back in the 1800s, I can't remember who he was that I was reading after. It's been some years ago. He was a drunk. He was drunk. Sitting and he saw the preacher walking by, and he was a well-known preacher that preached the gospel and stood up to him and inebriated, you know, and said, hey, and called him by name. You saved me. I went to one of your revivals and your sermons, and You saved me. And he looked at him and said, yep, you look about what I could do. That'd be about all I could do to saving somebody. Can't even get them out of the gutter. If God doesn't change the life does not change. That's just the way it is. Now, we just need to be honest. Do you see the change in your life that God has promised? We become a new people. And so here's the business that we need to do with the Lord. I don't see it, and so I'm going to ask You to do it. And you know what you will see? You will see the change because you've asked God to bring that change, and He says, now I can trust You. And what he means by that is, now I can empower your life because you realize you can't, as a saved child of God, you can't change your life, but I will change it for you. And then when I change it for you, you will glorify my name. You will be able to tell others what great things God is doing for you and me. And so he says, hey, listen, I want you to know you can ask anything and I'll do it. Oh, listen, the natural mind starts thinking about, oh boy. Right? The spiritual minded says, God has said these things to be in my life. I'm going to ask God to put those things in my life because that glorifies the Lord. I've said this too. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's exactly what God has saved us from. Just the way we are. Because just the way we are was headed towards hell without salvation. And God has saved us from ourselves, has he not?
Amen.
And now he wants to be in the business of saving us in the present tense daily.
Amen.
And by the way, that brings praise when we see the Lord. That will never happen if you don't ask God. I'm telling you, people will say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And they won't ask the Lord. You know why? Because they still think it's them having to do it. That means I'm going to have to know. You ask God, and then by faith, just trust the Lord and watch what he will do. And you will see things taking place in your life that you could not do before. Is God a liar? God forbid. He's not a liar. Is he true to his promises? How many of them? All of them. All of them. It's about time God's people get to doing business with the Lord. Amen? So he says, if verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Huh? Lord, I need to know how to love you, and I need you to empower my life to keep your commandments. Last thought here. Ready? Notice the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer in verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. You're right there. Listen to what the Lord says. Ready? He just said, you can ask anything in my name. I'm going to do it. And he says, it's important that you love me because you're going to be able to keep my commandments if you walk in my love. And notice what the Lord says here. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. Question. Is the Holy Spirit important in God's economy amongst God's people?
Amen.
We've forgotten that. We hear about it, but we don't know it experientially. That's why the church today is without power, when God intended the church to turn the world upside down and to shine his light, not ours, his light into the world. So this morning, I'm going to just don't answer anything out loud. Do you want that in your life? Because if not, you're not going to get it. It's God's promise. You can, oh, well, that was a good sermon, and yeah. You'll never get it that way. I'll never get it that way. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Listen to this. That he may abide with you for an hour. Forever. Question, has the Spirit come? It has. Now watch this. In case you understand, get your eyes off the world and don't listen to the world talking about religious things. That'll take you absolutely nowhere. And by the way, don't argue with the world because they are blind. They can't see this. Now listen, look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Now, we can share the gospel about salvation. Forget about talking about angels, the second coming, the economy of God, all that. Unless they're saved, they'll understand none of that. They can look at the words on the page, but they'll never catch the Spirit because they're dead to them. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Listen to this. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but look. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's already in you now. The Lord's already resurrected. Every believer's indwelt right away with the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Here's the question. Are we asking him to empower our lives? Just because you're indwelt with the Spirit doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is functioning the way he wants to function. You're not a robot. He'll not infiltrate your life. He'll be invited into it. Because if he just does things for you, you'll think you did it. Man, did you see that? Wow, I'm pretty good. No. He'll not share his glory. But he allows us the failure. Did Peter fail the Lord? Did he deny him? Did God bless him and he preached a message and souls were saved? Did he bless him and he told him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the paralytic man, rise up and walk, and he rose up and walked? And then what happened? The Israelites were looking at Peter and John. And Peter says to them, why are you looking at us as if by our own power this man is made whole? Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, has made this man whole. You think Peter learned something? Yes. Lord, they'll all forsake you. Not me. They're scoundrels. Oh, Lord, I have so much love for you, Lord, I could never deny you. Three times. In case you didn't get it the first time. What is that showing us? Why is that in the Scriptures? Because we are weak and nothing without the power of God. That will never change. Listen, if the Lord didn't flip the switch for Peter, he would have never been a success. And the same goes for you and I. As long as we're looking to ourselves, you will never call upon the Lord. If you're ready to settle for where you're at and you don't want any more of God, you'll never glorify the Lord. Paul said he was going to press toward the mark. You know what Paul said? I'm not running like I've attained. I've not reached the goal yet. I am pressing toward the mark. How often do you think Paul pressed toward the mark? All the time. Every day and all the time. We need God's help to do that. I don't know about you. The Lord said there's going to be people running to and fro throughout the whole earth when he comes back again. Do we see that going on? Increase in knowledge at our fingertips. We're so smart, we don't know what to do with ourselves. And I don't know, I see a lot of craziness going on. And the Lord said, would you have ever dreamed what's going on in the public school system today to the little kids would be, he said, it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's pretty rough. It's pretty bad. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 18. Notice what he says here. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Remember who he's talking to? To those that believe. Now watch this. Listen. At that day ye shall know, verse 20, that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. How will we know? Listen, how will we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father is in us when we see his works, the works that Jesus did, the greater that the world could not revile against, when we see the peace that, remember, Pilate says, don't you know what I could do to you? And was the Lord moved by it? Was he offended? Was the Lord ever offended? Did he not know everything that was going to happen? He did. Listen, and we'll finish up here. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest or reveal myself to him. Is the Lord manifesting himself to you personally in such a way? Look at verse chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. These are indicators. Do you get easily offended? I don't think much of the Spirit is working if I'm easily offended. I know it's not the Spirit. I know if, and I want you to know, just in case you wondered, I do get offended when I'm in myself. And that reminds me quickly, uh-oh, Lord, I need to abide in you and you in me. Because you know what life is about for the believer? I hope it is. Anyway, I think the Bible teaches it, standing before our Savior one day and wanting to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We will not hear well done if we look to ourselves. You know what? Listen, hear me clearly on this. What we have done, if we don't hear well done, is we've taken the talent that God has given to us of the Holy Spirit, buried it, and never used it. He has given to you and I the Holy Spirit, a talent of great price that will bring multitudes of dividends into our lives to glorify God. But if we're not looking to Him, then we will not be, that we could be saved child of God with no power. I'm a child of the King, falling on my face all the time, covered in mire of the world. No joy. The world says, whatever you have, keep it. I don't want it. But when the world saw even those that hated Jesus, couldn't get away from Him. Couldn't get away from Him. And the disciples to say, Lord, they'll all forsake you. I won't. They had a love for Him. The Holy Spirit is the one that will do the work in our lives to change them for the glory of God, that will cause us to be the light of the world that He's called us to be. And then He says, okay, now I want you to be a witness for me, right? You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses to me. But of the power. Isn't that what Paul said? I want to see the power of God. Where is the power of God today? Well, it indwells every believer. I'm afraid the believer today, we have forgotten for whatever reason. The 1920s, the Pentecostal movement got started and they were handling snakes. They were doing all kinds of crazy things. Maybe that's what started us to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. But you'll not find that in the Word of God. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. If you're here and you're a child of God, God wants to empower your life. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, and only you and the Lord know that, not religion, did God give you, did you know that you have been forgiven and born again? Because that's what the Lord, you have to be born again. And if you have that relationship, you know it. And if you're wondering about it and you're hoping so, chances are very good you don't have it. And I would ask the Lord of one of two things. I'm not trying to frighten you. I can't scare you into heaven. I promise you that. I can't. You might want to ask the Lord to confirm your salvation or to open your eyes to see if you need salvation, whatever it is. I would hate to see anybody in this room stand before the Lord, but Lord, Lord, and Him say, I never knew you. Only you can know that. And by the way, God wants you to have eternal life. He's not willing that any should perish. But as a saved child of God, are you willing and do you want the indwelling Spirit to have His will and way in your life? It has to be your desire. And then we begin to see things that glorify the Lord in our own lives that will amaze us. The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that we would seek You in the things that we've heard from Your Word today, that You might be honored and glorified in our lives. And Lord, even if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, even knowing You as Savior and trusting You and believing on You as Savior glorifies You and brings joy to all of Your people here on earth and in heaven and in the presence of the angels as well. May souls be saved if that's the need. May our lives be empowered if that's the need. And we know it is the need, Lord. for us that are your children. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.